understand this. God does not want your money. He wants your heart. But oftentimes, our money stands between God and our heart. Today will be the last day in the treasure principle. If you have noticed, I did not have a sermon outlined in your bulletin today. I have a copy of the 6 treasure principles that we'll get to in a minute. You didn't have an outline because I struggled with one this week. You see, as your pastor, I want to see you blessed of God. I know that some of you struggle financially, and I want to see God bless you. I know that some of you are struggling in other areas, and I want to see God bless you. But I know this, we live in perilous times. I know that the tempter pursues you. Ginger and I have 15 chickens, 7 white and 8 red. I think I got right. All right. And sometimes when we step outside, we'll hear a hawk screeching over, flying low. When we hear that and see that, we keep the chickens in the coop because we've already found out the hawk will come down and chase the chickens and kill them. We've already figured that out. So to protect the chickens, we confine them. If I was a shepherd and I had a fold of sheep, and I was in a new pasture, and I heard in not too great of a distance a pack of wolves howling, I would bring the sheep in closer and watch them, knowing that there was prey out there looking for them. What I want to try to convince you of today is that you are the prey, and a predator is looming. Remember, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want to tell you how he's after some of us. Have you noticed that our stock market has reached all new highs? If you've got investments, you've got more money. Personal income in this country is the highest it's ever been. Many of you have got pay raises. Wow. The unemployment rate is the lowest it's been in decades. If you want a job, you can find a job. I'll guarantee you, you can. Interest is low. Right now in our culture, money's flowing. And it is a temptation that will destroy many people and their relationship with God. Because you see, money is a deceiver and it is deceptive. We live in a culture where money seems to be the god. And I want to take you to a story that Jesus told. And I tell you, it just fits today really so well. Before I get to the scripture, but if you'd like to find it in your Bibles, guys, what's the scripture reference? Luke 12. All right, take it off. Because I've learned if it's up there, y'all read it. So I don't want you reading it yet. All right. Jesus is teaching. And a couple of brothers come to him to settle an argument. And they said, Master, would you tell my brother that he should share the inheritance with me. Now, what does that tell you? Inheritance, someone's died. Okay? And I'll tell you from personal experience with families, when there's a death in the family and money's involved, the wolves do come out. So Jesus is trying to settle this argument between brothers, where they should be encouraging each other at the loss of a father. But instead, no, it's all about the money. The money, the greenbacks. This is the story. All right, guys. All right. The ground of a certain man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store all my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger ones. And there I will bestow all my goods. And I'll say to myself," I guess he said, "Self, you have plenty of things laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." That's our culture. That's where we are. That's where most people live. Now look at the second part of the story. "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." I put before you today a couple treasure chests. This one has some things I'm going to pass out at the end of the service. But let's just imagine that this one has all your treasure in it. Those things that are important to you. Now, if you've got some big stuff, let's just imagine it's a big treasure chest. But for some of us, maybe our bank statements in there, some of our investments. Maybe you've got some gold or silver that you would have in there. Maybe it's a deed to some property. Maybe it's your car. I don't know. But I know this, God says that's the problem. You got the wrong treasure. You're thinking about things that are not going to be here very long, when in fact, our treasure should be God Himself. We should seek Him, that He should be the most important in our lives. Let's go back to the scripture here. Guys, let's go back up with the first scripture again. Look what it says. "The ground of a certain man produced a good crop." Farmers understand it's all from God. The earth is God. God sends rain, or He doesn't send rain. If you have a crop, it's from God. Farmers pray. They pray for God to bless the seed when they plant it. I've even heard atheist farmers pray. They pray that God send the rain. Farmers understand that everything comes from God. You and I are reminded that everything is God's. Our abundance is from God. The health that we have to hold down the job. The intelligence that God gives us to get the raise. The chance that we have a chance to work and produce is from God. All of our treasures come from God, not us. It is all the Lord's. Wherever that you are, whatever you have, it is God's. But treasures produce problems. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I don't have anywhere to put my crops. So he probably planted the seed, prayed for rain. God abundantly blessed him. The crops came in, and he had no barn, no silos to put them in. Problem. What do I do now? With every blessing, there's almost always a problem. What is our problem when God blesses us? Our problem is, what do we do with the blessing? In this case here, you're going to see that the farmer chose to keep it, hoard it, and use it for himself and for the future. What do we tend to do? We stash it back for our future, and we keep as much as we can. Do I stuff and have fun? Don't we? Isn't that kind of the American dream? Make money, make a lot of money. Store it for the future, buy a lot of stuff, and have a lot of fun. The problem is, it's empty. It's not satisfying. It creates for us a dilemma whereby we try to decide how to spend it. You see, ours is this. How do we manage God's money? Let's just change one thing in the story. The ground of a certain tenant farmer produced a good crop. Do you see the change? Not the ground of a farmer, the ground of a tenant farmer. That means he worked for the owner. It was not his land. He was farming it for somebody else. We are tenant farmers. It's never been ours. It's always been God's. If it had been a tenant farmer, he wouldn't have said, "What will I do with all I have?" He would have been asking his master, "What do you want me to do with it?" Now we're fixing to get to our problem and why it's so dangerous. All right, have we got the scripture up? All right, I want you to spend, David, back. All right, let's keep it there. I want y'all to look at the scripture and look at how many times he uses I or a personal pronoun. Some people said, "Pastor, I didn't pay attention to school. What's the pronoun?" I, me, mine, myself. Look at what he says. What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns. I will build new ones. There I will store all my goods, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of things. 9 times. 9 times he makes it all about himself. 9 times. I mean, if he's a farmer, he's prayed. He didn't even one time think, God, thank you for the harvest. Thank you. The tithe that Connie talked about, a tenth of what he had, and the first of the tenth would have gone to God. It's not worried about God. It's him. All about him. When we get that pay raise, it's not our first thought, what will I spend it on? What do I want? You see, he never prayed. He never thanked God or prayed, "God, how shall I use this increase?" He never thought of God's work. He never thought of the less fortunate. He made it all about himself. As we have talked today about the Christmas shoeboxes, it just reminds us of that truth that we all ought to get. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's never been about you. It's about God, and it's about others. When you come to Christ, your focus needs to come off of self and on to God, and He's going to begin to spread it out to others. We talked last Sunday that you could take $35 and go ID. Or you could spend $35 and put things in a shoebox and pay for the postage approximately. Because it's not, is there anybody here? If anybody here is hungry, I'll feed you. But let's face it, our problem is not hunger. Our problem is we overeat. It's not going to hurt any of us to think of somebody else and put them ahead of us. But because we are so selfish, we make it about ourselves. I was watching a ball game. Well, I watched a couple of college ball games yesterday, parts of them. And car manufacturers are advertising right now. By the way, this is the season of Lexus, if you didn't know it. And I will admit, they've got some cool commercials. And those, how would you say that in plural? Lexuses? Does that sound right? Anyway, those Lexus cars, for those that don't know, Lexus is the upline of Toyota. Toyota's upline. They did look good. And they even talked about buying one for your spouse. Oh my goodness. Are we that transparent that even the advertisers see how greedy we are? See, here's what's happening. We live in a culture that is so obsessed with things and pleasure that from the moment that we wake up every day and turn the television on, or when we drive to work, listen to our radio, they're telling us about things that will make life easier for us, things that will make life better for you, things that you really need to have or places you need to go. It's being laid out before you like a snare to entrap you. We told you a couple of years ago that we got some possums under our house. Matter of fact, we caught 3 possums out from under our house. And here's what we did to catch them. We set traps, or basically a metal cage with the food in it they like to eat. Okay. We put some apples and peanut butter and sardines. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't it make you want to just, whoa? And we set these traps right out where they're going in and out. Now, I don't know how a possum thinks, but I'm just assuming the possum comes out and goes, a buffet. And so they turn and they go into the trap, to the buffet that I have set for them to ensnare them. And they go into the trap, and they get to the edge of the trap, and when they put their foot to get the food, it closes down behind them. Now, I will tell you this. I took them out and turned them out, but they're fine out somewhere. You what? Yeah, took them down the fields, dumped them behind his house. They had no idea how dangerous it was for them to take the bait. It's like we're blind to what's going on around us. That we don't see avarice and greed and materialism as bad. And yet it will destroy our heart for God. Because instead of giving to God, you're thinking, whoa, what can I do with that money? Blow it on something, if I know most of you and I know myself. The treasures buy us more stuff. And you know, we have to buy a new house because we got bigger and more stuff to put it. Our treasures will either give us more or they will bless others. Guys, let's go to the final portion of the scripture. All right. Listen to what God tells this man that's just like me and you. You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? And I love this final. This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself here and is not rich toward God. I so long to hear good news from you. I remember, my goodness, Connie, it was a long time ago when you and Adam were going through some of your struggles and your finances and the battles that you faced. But it is such a blessing now to see how God has blessed you. See, God wants to bless you, but not just with more stuff. First of all, with a relationship with Him. Then you know what to do with it. That it's not just there to give you more stuff to put in a yard sale one day. But it's there to be a blessing. I know that Alan and Connie have had several people have lived with them and stayed with them. A number of our teenagers and young couples have been blessed by them. Because they have learned it's not about them. There's nobody can come stay in your house that doesn't inconvenience you. But it's not about you. Christmas is upon us. If there's ever a time that we should take our eyes off of ourselves and think of others, it is now. I'm going to be giving out to all the families here in just a second an envelope and some suggestions. Because I want you to earnestly pray about how you can bless others. It might mean a sacrifice for you, something you've been counting on, something you've been looking toward, but you decide, I'm going to do without this so that I can bless others. Let me ask you to do me a favor. In your bulletins, I have for you the treasure principles. Would you pull those out and look at them for a second? Obviously, let me just take you through it. The treasure principle is this. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. That's what this farmer had to figure out. Now, there are six treasure principles. They're in your bulletins, and they're all in dark ink. I want you to recite those with me, okay? All right, here's the first one. God owns everything. I'm His money manager. Number two, my heart always goes where I put God's money. Heaven, not earth, is my home. Four, I should not live for the dot, but for the line. For those who weren't here last Sunday, in the stretch of eternity, our life here, our pilgrimage, is but a dot. It is so quick, but the line goes on for eternity. Number five, giving is the only antidote to materialism. And the final, God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. I want you to take these home with you. Put them on your fridge. Put them on your mirror. Put them in your car. Because I'm telling you, the enemy is seeking you. If I was a shepherd and I could talk to my sheep, I'd say, don't leave my sight. Don't go over behind that hill. Don't go down in that valley. I can't see you there. I can't protect you there. Stay where I can watch you. I want God to bless you. I want the enemy to fail trying to defeat you. I want you to learn these and saturate yourself in them that you might be stronger in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray, Father. Father, may each one of us realize that we have a personal relationship with you, and that one of the things that can hinder that relationship is money. Father, keep us humble. Help it to flow through our hands rather than settle in our hands. Help us, Father, to be used of you to change the lives of others. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.